verses to go over, a lot of different scriptures to go over this morning, and the lesson this morning, the sermon this morning. But Father, if your spirit doesn't come down, if your spirit doesn't bless, then it'll be all in vain. And Lord, I ask that you please just bless the time we have together. I pray you would help me to say the things you would have me to say, Lord. I pray you'd allow this to be a time where your spirit would minister to all of us, that we would leave here this morning, Father, knowing that we have heard from you. We love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we're there in John chapter number 13. And this morning, I want to give you a lesson, and I'm going to say this, and it might not mean anything to you, but today's going to be very much like a Bible study. Now, that might not mean anything to you, because I think all our sermons around here are very much like a Bible study. I don't know what else, you know, if we're not preaching the Bible and studying the Bible, then why are we here? You know what I mean? But we're going to look at a lot of passages this morning, and you're going to have to move quickly with me to be able to get to all of them, all right? So you're going to have to put your batteries on and get ready so we can go through these as quickly as possible. But this morning, I want to talk to you in regards to our responsibilities that you and I have one to the other. When Jesus Christ came to this earth and ministered and then left, he left some responsibilities that you and I have. See, you and I, not only do we have a responsibility to God, but you actually have a responsibility to other believers, and other believers have a responsibility to you. You've got to understand that. You know, I've heard it said this way. You are not an island. I am not an island. Our lives affect other people. Our lives influence other people. And in many ways, God knew that. Of course he knew that. And he left us some responsibilities that we have to carry out. So this morning, I want to quickly give you five different areas in which you are responsible to other believers, and give you 15 different responsibilities that God gave us one to the other. 15 different responsibilities that you have to other believers, and five different areas. We're going to go through them as quickly as possible because we got 15 of them, all right? So you got to move quickly with me. The first one's found here in John chapter 13. Obviously, we read the entire chapter, and you can see there from the context, this is a very intimate time with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the night before his death. He's getting ready to die. He's spending time with his disciples. He sends off Judas Iscariot, so he has only those there that are actually his, that are saved. He's speaking to them and instructing them, and you can study this time in the rest of the Gospels, and you see many different things that are taught there. He instituted the Lord's Supper and did all sorts of things, but in the scope or in the picture we see in John, you see that when the Lord Jesus Christ gets together with his disciples after he sent off Judas Iscariot, the Bible says one of the last things he wants to say to them before he dies, if you look at verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you." You say, well, what is this new commandment? It's not really a new commandment, he's just kind of phrasing it differently. But he says, "A new commandment I give unto you," and no one's understand me. It's a new if Jesus said it's a new commandment, it's a new commandment. But you gotta understand that God has obviously taught this throughout. Jesus was very good at taking those things from the Old Testament and just phrasing them in a way where they clicked for us in a very practical way. And in verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you." Notice what he says, "that ye love." Now look at those next two words. One another. And that's what we're talking about today. The one another relationships. The responsibility that you and I have to one another. And Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another." So the first thing I want you to realize is you have a responsibility in the area of our affection one to the other. So in the area of our affection one to another, we have responsibilities. You say, what are those responsibilities? Well, number one, that we love one another. The Bible talks a lot about this. Now, I want you to notice, look at verse 34 again. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." Now, notice, he doesn't just say love one another. He tells you how to love one another, as I have loved you. He says, so I want you to love one another, but I don't want you to love in the way that you may think. Because you got to understand this. And please, if you're going to understand the word love in the Bible, you got to understand this concept. The world has a definition of the word love that is not a biblical definition of the word love. The world's definition of love is dependent upon what you do. You understand that? It's conditional. Men and women all throughout the country will stand at altars on the day of their marriage, and they'll say,
you know, they'll swear that I'll love you, to love and to hold in goodness, you know, I performed the wedding, I don't have it memorized, I didn't perform anything, you know, in sickness and health, in riches and poor, you know, as long as we both shall live. But they don't really mean that. They don't really mean love in the good times and the bad times. They say in the good times and the bad times, but they mean I'll love you in the good times, and when things get bad, then it's over. That's the world's type of love. It's a conditional. I'll love you as long as you have a job. I'll love you as long as you do this, as long as you do that. But that's not God's love. See, if we had to earn God's love, none of us would be loved. I mean, we would lose His love 3 seconds into our relationship with Christ. And Jesus said, He said, you have a responsibility to one another, that ye love one another. He said, well, how? As I have loved you, that ye love one another. Look at verse 35. By this, by what? By love. Shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. See, if you and I have a true love, the same love that Christ had for believers, if you and I have that love for one another, that would be such a testimony to the world, because let's face it, our world does not know how to properly love. Our world does not know how to love people. Our world, see, our world, go to John 15 real quickly. Our you know, you listen to the young people today, and they talking to their, you know, they met some guy a week and a half ago. They met some girl 3 days ago at some club, and they're like, I love you. I'm going to be with you forever, baby. I love you. What they really mean is, I lust you. What they really mean is, I like you right now. That word love is very cheap today. Not a biblical love. Are you there in John 15? Look at verse 12. John 15, 12. This is my commandment. Now notice, it's not an option. He didn't say, this is my suggestion. He said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another, how? As I have loved you. Look at verse 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Go to Romans real quickly. Romans 13. I remember I told you, you're going to have to, stay with me, because we're going to move quickly through these. I'll try to help you as much as I can. Romans 13. You're there in John. The next book is the book of Acts. The book after that is the book of Romans. At Verity Baptist Church, if you don't know how to get through your Bible, you'll learn real quick, alright? Because we're going to go through a lot of passages here. Romans chapter number 13. Look at verse number 8. Romans chapter number 13. Verse number 8. The Bible says, owe no man anything. You ought not be in debt to anyone, is what the Bible says. You ought not owe anybody anything. He says, owe no man anything, but... So what's something I should owe someone? Look what it says. Owe no man anything, but to love one another. What do I owe you? See, remember we talked about our responsibilities to one another. Because see, many Christians today, I talk to people all the time, and you soul winners, I'm sure you talk to them all the time. You knock on somebody's door. People all the time will say, well, I can worship God by myself. I can worship God, you know, I don't need to be around other believers, I don't need church, I don't need to be around other people, because I can get alone in some, you know, forest somewhere, and some, you know, and what they're really saying is they're going to go out fishing on Sunday, and they're going to call that church, you know what I'm talking about? They're going to go out camping, and they're going to call, but they'll say, well, I can get all alone, and I can fulfill my responsibility to worship God, but how are you going to fulfill your responsibility to one another by yourself? Because God commanded you to love one another. God commanded you. In fact, you owe it to other believers. The Bible, look at what it says. Are you there in Romans 13? Look at verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So see, you owe it to other believers to love them. You owe it to me to love me. And I owe it to you to love you. The Bible says that one of our responsibilities is to love one another. Now keep your go to 1 Thessalonians real quickly. Keep your finger in 1 Thessalonians, because we're going to come back to that. If you're there in Romans, go towards the right in your Bible. You'll go 1 and 2 Corinthians. You'll go to the book of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then you'll find 1 Thessalonians. Keep your finger in 1 Thessalonians, but look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and look at verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. I just want to show you quickly how much God mentions this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Look at verse 9. The Bible says, but as touching brotherly love. Say, why is it brotherly love? Because we're a family in Christ. We're spiritually a family. If God is my father, and God is your father, then guess what? We're siblings, spiritually. That's why we say, brother so-and-so. That's why you can say, sister so-and-so. Why? Because we are a spiritual family. And the Bible says there, 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves, now notice, ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. See, God is the one that teaches you how to love. You say, I'm going to get married, or I want to work on my relationship, or I want to learn to love. You know, you ought to just learn, how does God love? And when you realize how God loves, then you can learn how to properly love someone. Because God is the one that teaches. The Bible says God is love. It says, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. By the way, that's the only place that love ever, true love ever comes from, is from God. Keep going towards the right in your New Testament. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter, you're going to go towards almost the end of the New Testament. If you get to 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, or Revelation, you went a little too far. 1 Peter chapter number 1, look at verse 22. Now keep your finger in Thessalonians. Remember I said that? Because we're going to come back over there in a minute. 1 Peter, I'm trying to help you. 1 Peter chapter number 1, look at verse number 22. 1 Peter chapter number 1, look at verse 22. Seeing, 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto, now notice what it says, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that ye love, now there's our phrase, one another with a pure heart, fervently. So what kind of love should we have? It should be unfeigned. The word feign, you ever heard somebody, oh, they're feigning sick, they're feigning hurt? It's talking about pretending. God says our love ought not be fake, our love ought not be pretend, our love ought to be real. He says, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart. He says you gotta love someone, and see, you gotta understand this. Our world has a messed up view of the word love. Today people think, no, they'll come to a church like Very Baptist Church. We'll say, that's a very not loving church. Very Baptist Church is not loving. And you ask them, why do you think we're not loving? Because you preach the truth. See, and they think, when you tell someone the truth, that's not love. But when you lie to someone, that's love. When you don't help someone, that's love. I remember a pastor equate it this way. He said, it's like if you have blind, because the Bible says blind leading the blind. Jesus said that. He said, it's like if you have a blind person walking towards a cliff, and they're going to plummet to their death. And this is what most churches in America are today. They'll walk up to that blind person as they're walking to the cliff, and they'll say, boy, you look nice today. Boy, you're doing good today. Man, let me pat you on the back. Let me help you feel. Here, you hungry? Here, have a sandwich. And they'll make you feel real good as you're walking towards the edge of the cliff. But they never warned you about the cliff. Is that love? Oh, but they said very nice things. Is that love? And then you get the fundamental Baptist who says, hey, you're walking toward the cliff. And they'll say, oh, that's not very loving because he's yelling. That's not very loving because I'm on a stroll. You're walking toward the cliff. You understand what I'm saying? Well, that's not very loving. You don't understand what love is. You think love is, here, have a sandwich, as you're walking towards your death. You think love is, oh, it's okay, live in sin, it's okay. Let the devil just have control, complete control of your life. It's okay, don't worry about it because we're saying nice things. You understand what I'm saying? Might have to bring that down a little bit, I don't know. The Bible says, verse 22, seeing ye have purified your hearts in obeying the truth through the Spirit, and unto unfeigned. It says, not fake. He says, real love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Go to 1 John, real quickly. Keep moving towards the right. We're going towards the end. I'm trying to make this easy for you. 1 John chapter number 4, look at verse number 7. 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 7. And we apologize, we're trying to get this, first time we've used the speaker and the mic, so we're trying to get it figured out. Is it too low now? Did I just hit it? Was that the problem? Good night. Alright. I'll try not to hit it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Towards the end there, right before the book of Jude, you got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 1 John 4, 7. Look what it says. Beloved, let us love one another. That's our phrase, right? For love is of who? God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Do you know that someone who's not even saved doesn't even really know how to love? You say, well, I love my... No, you don't. Because love comes from God. And you can't have love till you're born of God. Now, you may have affection towards someone. We understand that. But true love comes from God. That's what the Bible says. Look at verse 10. See, this is why people don't... 1 John 4:10. Herein is love. You say, well, what is love?
Not that we loved God, but that He first loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sin. See, love is not conditional. God does not love us because we loved Him. In fact, we love Him because He first loved us, what the Bible says. And He gave His Son because He loved us, expecting nothing in return. See, that's what true love is.
Go to 2 John chapter 1. 2 John, just turn a page. 2 John chapter 1. Actually, I'm sorry. Go back to 1 John chapter 4. I wanted to show you. Look at verse 11. 1 John chapter 4, 11. And this is the record. 1 John chapter 4, 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. By the way, that's why you are not married. You know, those of you that aren't married, you young kids, don't ever marry someone who's not a believer.
Say, why should I not marry? He's so good looking. He's so handsome. Yeah, that's stupid now. Wait till 10 years from now.
So you started feeding him and he gained 20 pounds. You know what I mean?
Say, well, because here's the thing. Someone that's... And I'm not saying that unbelievers are bad people when I'm saying this. Unbelievers do not know, they cannot know how to properly love because love comes from God. I mean, did you read the verse? Look at verse, what was that? Verse 7. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth, does that say some of the people that love, most of the people that love? It says, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So if you're not born of God, or if you're not born again, then you cannot know how to properly love. That's what the Bible says.
I don't like that. Well, then you don't like the Bible. 2 John chapter 1, look at verse 5. 2 John 1, 5. That's not loving. I know. 2 John chapter 1, or it's only one chapter. Look at verse 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, look what it says, that we love one another.
See, you have a responsibility to love one another, to love others. True love comes...
It comes and it's developed through God. Our world specializes in a fake, shallow love. But the Bible says that we ought to love. You say, how do we love? We love in the same way that Jesus loved us.
Now, did you keep your finger in 1 Thessalonians? Okay, go back to 1 Thessalonians. Watch how I'm going to help you, alright? Are you back in 1 Thessalonians? Okay, go to, right before 1 Thessalonians, the book of Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter number 3. That's the next reference. You see how I helped you? Alright, so you gotta stay with me. I'll try to help you as we go. Colossians chapter number 3. We have responsibilities one to another.
You say, what are those responsibilities? Well, in the area of our affection, we are to love one another. But not only are we to love one another, are you there in Colossians 3? Look at verse 13. Colossians chapter number 3, verse 13. The Bible says, forbearing one another, we'll come back to that in a second. And, notice what it says, forgiving one another, if any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. The word quarrel there means to have an argument. It means to have a fight.
And the Bible says that we are to love one another, but then the Bible says that we are to forgive one another. Look at verse 13 again. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another.
You say, oh, Pastor Jimenez, you don't understand what so-and-so did to me.
You don't understand what my husband or what my wife or what my kids or what my neighbor or what that church member, what they did. They took my chair. They know I sit there every Sunday. They took my chair.
You say, how should you love?
And you remember, how do we love? In the same way that Jesus loved us. How do you forgive? In the same way Jesus forgave us. Look at verse 13.
Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
Do you want Jesus to hold anything against you? Now hopefully you would answer no. Because by the way, if Jesus holds any sin against you, guess what? You're not going to heaven. He has to forgive you of all your sins. So, if Jesus forgives you of all your sins, then you ought to forgive others of all their sins. If Jesus forgives you of every wrong you've ever done, then you ought to forgive others of all the wrong. You ought not hold grudges against other believers. You say, see, you have a responsibility. You say, what are my responsibilities? To love one another. But you also have a responsibility to forgive others.
You owe it to others to forgive them. That's what the Bible says. And I'm not going to take the time to go there, but in the book of Matthew, the Bible says that if you refuse to forgive others, then God will refuse to forgive you. Because you reap what you sow. Well, you don't understand. They hurt me. I'm never going to forgive them. All right, you better be ready for God to treat you the exact same way. You will reap what you sow. You say, how do I forgive? The same way Jesus forgave you, completely. All of it. Never kept anything back. You have a responsibility to forgive. Go, you're there in Colossians. Go towards the left in your New Testament. Go past the book of Philippians into the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse 32. Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse 32. You see I'm helping you there? You go right past Philippians. Go towards the left. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. We'll come back to that one also. Tender hearted. Forgiving one another. How? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. See, God forgave you, not for your sake, but for Christ's sake. Do you understand that? God did not forgive you because He thought you were so great. God forgave you because He thought Christ was so great. And in the same way, you say, well, so-and-so doesn't deserve my forgiveness. But would you do it for Christ's sake? If Christ asked you to forgive them, would you do it? You say, well, if He asked me to forgive Him, I'd do it. Guess what? He always asks you to forgive. Because you owe it. You have a responsibility to love one another. You have a responsibility to forgive one another. If you're holding a grudge against somebody today, if you're holding something, you say, well, I'm not ready to forgive them. I'm not ready. You are wrong. Because you owe it to them. It's a responsibility, one to another, to forgive one another. So we said, number one, we have a responsibility in the area of our affection, one to another. Number two, we have a responsibility in the area of our actions, one to another. So our affection is how we feel. Alright? I love you, it's how I feel about you. I forgive you, it's how I feel about you. But you also have a responsibility in how you act towards people. Are you there in Ephesians 4:32? Look what it says. And be ye kind. You see that? One to another. Do you know that you can love someone and not be kind to that someone? Those are two different things. That God commands you to love. Yes, He does. But He also commands you to be kind. You know, the art of being kind is a lost art in America today. Today, our world and our media, the television and all these rock artists and rap artists and the movies, they've made it cool to be a jerk. They've made it cool to be, well, that's just how I am. I just tell people how it is. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another. Look what it says. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. The word tender means your heart is soft towards other individuals because you love them. He says tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The Bible says that you owe it to other individuals to love them, and you owe it to other individuals to forgive them, and you owe it to other individuals to be kind to them. You're there in Ephesians, go to Romans real quickly. Go, keep going towards the left in your Bible. You're going to go all the way to the book of Romans, right before you get to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You have the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 12, look at verse 10. Romans chapter number 12, look at verse 10. Now you got to understand this. The action of being kind comes from the emotion of love. We understand that. And by the way, let me just say this. Love is a choice. It's not something that I fell in love and then I fell out of love. You have no clue what you're talking about. You choose to love. And you choose to not love. You choose to forgive, and you choose not to forgive. You choose to be kind, and you choose not to be kind. My wife actually was reading this somewhere, and she shared it with me because she said, "Wow, this is such a powerful analogy." But you know, people say, "Well, that's just how I am. I just tell it how it is." You know, it's funny because, like, you know, all of us that have children, have you ever done this? You know, your kids are just being bad, right? You're in the middle of some rant, like, "You kids need to go, but you need to go clean your room, and you made this mess, blah, blah." And then, ring. Good morning. So what was that? You chose to be kind. And you chose to be angry, honestly. You're fighting with your spouse on the way to church. You get to church. "God bless you, brother. How are you doing?" You're like the greatest marriage on earth. As soon as you step out there, "I can't believe that you blah, blah, blah." What was that? You chose to be. And you just decide that certain people, you love them so much and you're so close to them that you can just be unkind to them. But the stranger that you don't know, the telemarketer that calls you, you know, you're going to be kind to them. You're going to choose to be kind to them. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another. It's not a choice. That's a command. Look at verse Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. See, the Bible commands us to be kind one to another. And it's a choice. You choose to be kind. And you know, let me just say this, because I think it's something that needs to be said in our society. Just because you are in a bad mood, the whole world does not need to know it. Sometimes I wish I was back in boot camp. I remember when I was in boot camp, I was in the military. The military instructor told you to do something you didn't like. If you showed him in your face that you didn't like it, he'd walk up to you and say, "Fix your face!" Sometimes I don't want to say that to people. You know, "How you doing?" I just want to walk up to him, "Fix your face!" You know what I mean? Like, what is wrong with you? You're choosing to tell us your emotion. You don't have to. You don't have. You know that it. You know that you use more muscles in your face to frown than you do to smile. So you're actually purposely frowning when it's easier to smile. Now I understand we go through struggles. I understand we go through hard times. But we get into these modes where we just decide, well, I'm just going to always show my emotions. I'm always going to just be upset. If I have a bad day, the whole world's going to know about it. Let me tell you something. You need to choose to just put a smile on your face. Fix your face. Maybe you should write that on your mirror before you go to work or before you go to school or whatever. Just put it on a 3x5 card on your mirror there. Fix your face. And just remember that it's a choice to be kind. It's a choice to love. You say, "Pastor Menace, you get up there and you rant and scream all the time." I'm choosing to rant and scream. Sometimes we need to do that. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, is what the Bible says. But you have a choice in the area of our affections, in the area of our actions. Not only are we to be kind one to another, go to Romans 15. You're there in Romans 12, right? Go to Romans 15, look at verse 7. Romans 15, verse 7. How are we to treat one another? We are to be kind one to another. Not only that, but we are to receive one another. You're there in Romans 15, look at verse 7. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, do you notice how God keeps equating that we are to treat each other in the same way that Christ treats us? Do you see that? Look at verse 7. Wherefore, receive ye one another. How are we to receive one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God? Now, let me ask you something. Does God receive everyone? Does Jesus receive anyone? Does the Bible say whosoever will may come? Does the Bible say that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? Does God make it available for everyone to be saved? Well, guess what? If Jesus is willing to receive everyone, then you and I ought to be willing to receive everyone. We don't have this problem at Verity Baptist Church, but sometimes we got to preach this to make sure these problems don't arise. But I've been to many a churches where you walk in and you're not dressed a certain way, or you're not driving a certain car, or you're not in a certain pay scale, or you're not, you know, in a certain clique. You know, many churches today have their little cliques. The pastor has his clique, the pastor's wife has their clique, the ushers have their clique, and these people, and you're in this little clique. And if you're not in a clique, then that church ought not be like that. If there ought to be anywhere where everyone is accepted, if there ought to be anywhere where everyone is received, where everyone is welcome, where everybody is given the right hand of fellowship, it ought to be church. You say, "Well, you don't understand. You, that person, look at how they're dressed, or they came from that side of town, or look at them. They're not like me." You ought to receive them. Jesus Christ could have said the exact same thing about you. "Wow, look at them. I'm glad Jesus received me." Are you glad Jesus received you? Then we ought to receive others. See, if you say, "I received Christ," really, Christ received you. People say, "I found Jesus." Really, Jesus found you. Jesus wasn't lost. You were. Look at verse 7 there. "Wherefore, receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." How should we act one to another? We ought to be kind one to another. We ought to receive one another. Go to 1 Peter, all right? We're jumping towards the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter, all right? 1 Peter, chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. I try to make these flow as much as I could, but this one kind of have to go with it, right? 1 Peter chapter number 4. We talked about in our affection, we ought to love one another. In our affection, we ought to forgive one another. We talked about in our actions, we ought to be kind one to another. We ought to receive one another. Here's another one. How should we act towards one another? 1 Peter chapter number 4, look at verse 9. 1 Peter chapter number 4, look at verse 9. The Bible says, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging." 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Now that word hospitality means given to generous and cordial reception of guests. The word hospitality means you are, the Bible tells us two different times, one towards the pastor and one towards church people, it says we are to be given to hospitality. And I like how it says it here in 1 Peter, because notice what it says. Use hospitality. It talks about hospitality as if it's a tool. And God says, I want you to use this tool of being hospitable one to another without grudging. And that goes back to what we just talked about, receiving one another. You know, when a visitor walks in for the first time at Verity Baptist Church, please, honestly, and let me just give you a little bit of instruction. Those of you that consider this your church, you're part of Verity Baptist Church, let me tell you something. A first-time visitor walks through those doors, don't continue your conversation with brother so-and-so that you're going to see on Sunday night, that you're going to see on Wednesday night, with sister so-and-so that you're going to see on Saturday, that you're going to call on Monday. We're the family here. We know we love each other. When a visitor walks in, we need to make an effort to be hospitable. To welcome them. To receive them. You know how many times visitors... You know how hard it is to go somewhere where you don't know anyone? You know, are these people going to judge me? Are they going to accept me? Are they going to look down on me? What are they going to think of me? And then you walk in and nobody says a word to you. You know? The person that we need to say, fix your face to, is just sitting there. When's this thing going to get started so I can go home? Yeah, it makes people feel awkward. You got to use hospitality. You gotta love people. And by the way, we're not just talking about, this is the first time. Look, we gotta be hospitable to everyone. Yeah, we gotta develop relationships. And sometimes, look, let me tell you something. As a pastor, you can ask my wife, as a pastor's wife, being hospitable oftentimes is a lot of work. That's why the Bible says, look at the verse there. 1 Peter 4:9. Use hospitality one to another. Look what it says. Without grudging. Without complaining about it. Sometimes it's work. But you know what? We ought to work towards being hospitable one to another. We ought to have each other over for dinner. We ought to have each other over for lunch. And by the way, remember the first point? We ought to love one another. Unfeigned love. Alright? It ought to be pure motives. I gotta say this every time I say this. Every time I preach this, I gotta say this. Don't invite people over to your... Oh, pastor, I'm gonna be hospitable and I'm gonna invite everybody over to my house so that I can sell them my Mary Kay. That's not being hospitable. So I can sell them my Tupperware. Now look, I'm not against you if you sell Mary Kay. I don't know it. If you sell Tupperware, I don't know it. I'm not against you. I'm all for free enterprise. I'm all for working hard. But the Bible says, Jesus Christ said, "Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." Jesus went to church and they were selling things and he overthrew the tables. He overthrew the money. He made a whip and he dragged them out. By the way, that's why at Verity Baptist Church, we don't sell anything. You want a preaching CD? We'll give you one. We're not going to sell it to you. Why? You're the average church. $5. You want a preaching CD? $5. You want the Bible? $10. You want a Bible? We'll give you a Bible. You want a CD? We'll give you a CD. Well, what are you going to do when you run out of money? We'll stop. We're never going to sell anything at Verity Baptist Church because we won't make this house a house of merchandise. That's what Jesus said. That's biblical. So don't, you know, I'm going to invite people and I'm going to sell them my Mary Kay and I'm going to, because people want, you know, they come. And by the way, these places, these businesses, so oftentimes they tell people, oh, go to churches and get part of a church and you can sell it to all those people. And that's wrong. It's wicked. It is wrong, you know. It's just as wrong for me to go. I mean, would you think it's wrong for me to go start a business? I'm going to go start, you know, Jimenez Mart. We're going to sell all sorts of, you know, just things you need for your house, home goods. And I'm going to set up shop right in front of Walmart. No, Jimenez Mart. And I'm going to try to get all those people. Look, Walmart worked real hard and paid a lot. And, you know, this message is brought to you by Walmart. Right, no, I'm just kidding. You know, whether you're for or against Walmart, I'm not saying they're good or bad. But you know what? They paid a lot of money in advertisement and in working to get people to come there, not so that I could steal from them and steal their customers. You understand what I'm saying? We had 7 soul winners, 8 soul winners, 12 soul winners out for 2, 3, 4 hours, knocking on doors, inviting people to church, preaching the gospel, calling people, loving people, praying for people, so that when that visitor walks through that door, you can try to sell them your junk? You understand what I'm saying? It's wrong. It's stealing. It's what it is. So you say, we ought to be hospitable. Unfeigned love. Yeah, and look, I'm not against, and please understand, I got to give all sorts of, I'm not against church people doing business with each other. That's fine. I understand that. But you ought not be just coming to church just because I'm going to build my business on Verity Baptist Church. You're at the wrong church. I can tell you a whole lot of churches got more people in it. You know, if you want to sell Mary Kay. And the preaching is probably a lot shorter too. The Bible says there, are you in where are we? 1 Peter 4:9? Use hospitality. We are to be given to hospitality. Use hospitality one to another. Goes back to that receiving. So we said number one, in the area of affection. We said number two, in the area of actions. Number three, in the area of giving advantage one to another. You say, well, what do you mean by giving advantage? Well, the word advantage means to give the position of superiority. The word advantage means to put others first. We are to love one another and forgive one another in the area of our affections one to another. We are to be kind. We are to be hospitable. We are to receive in our actions one to another. But in our giving of advantage one to another, I ought to give you superiority. You understand that? I ought to put you first. You say, where's that in the Bible? Are you there in 1 Peter? Look at chapter 5. Look at verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Look at the Bible says. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. The word submit, do you see how the first part of the word submit is? It's the word sub. It means to lower yourself. You ever heard of a submarine? Alright? To lower yourself. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves or lower yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. You see how the word humility is connected to the word to be subject or submitting? Because you're humbling yourself, you're lowering yourself. Why would you do that? For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Okay? The Bible says, all of you, yea, all of you be subject one to another. You're there in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Okay, go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians. We were there just a little while ago. So go back towards Ephesians. You're traveling towards the left in your New Testament. Right before you get to Galatians is the book of Ephesians. Right after Ephesians is the book of Philippians. So go back to Ephesians. Look at chapter number 5. And look at verse number 21. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 21. The Bible says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. See, what God is talking about is, I'm going to submit myself to you. And you're going to submit yourself to me. What it means is that I'm going to lower myself and make sure that you have the position of superiority. I'm going to put you first. You ever met someone? They always have to have their way. My way or the highway. What God is teaching here is that you don't always have to have it your way. Every once in a while, if there's a disagreement, I've got my opinion, you've got your opinion. Every once in a while, I ought to just submit myself and say, you know what, I'm going to give you the advantage. I'm going to give you the position of superiority. And let's do what you said. And here's what happens. You've got one Christian that wants to love one another, wants to show their kindness one to another. They want to submit to one another. Okay? You've got another Christian. I've seen Christians out at restaurants literally arguing and fighting about which one's going to pay for the meal. No, I'm going to pay for your meal. No, I'm going to pay for your meal. What are they doing? They're trying to give the other one the position of superiority. You know what the world does? You're going to pay for my meal. No, you're going to pay. I paid last time. You understand what I'm saying? That's the difference. The Bible says we ought to submit ourselves. Now understand that there's roles there. Children ought to submit to their parents. The Bible says wives ought to submit to their husbands. We understand that. But in a general scope, every once in a while, I ought to just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to let you have it your way. And I'm going to put you first. I'm going to give you the position of authority. I'm going to submit myself to you. The Bible says we ought to submit ourselves one to another. It says we ought to lower ourselves and humble. Let me give you another example of that. Go to Romans. Go back to Romans chapter number 12. We were just there. Romans chapter number 12. A lot of these verses we're going to look at more than once because they deal with different points in the same verse. Romans chapter number 12. But let me give you another example of this. Romans chapter number 12. And look at verse number 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor. Notice this word. preferring one another. The word prefer means that I'm going to give you, I'm going to prefer you. You need to have the attitude, and please understand this. You and I owe it to each other. We have a responsibility one to another to have an attitude that I'm here to promote you. I'm here to help you succeed. I'm not here to take advantage of you. I'm not here to see what I can get out of you. I'm here to make sure you succeed in life. And if it's between you succeeding and me succeeding, I'm going to make sure you succeed because I want to prefer you before myself. That's what the Bible says. And by the way, when the world sees that, the Bible says, then they shall know that ye are my disciples indeed. Because you know, the world's philosophy is, this is a dog-eat-dog world. I'm looking out for myself. I'm looking out for number one. That's the world's philosophy. God's philosophy, I'm looking out for you. I want to make sure you succeed. And you got to understand this. Our world today, our society today teaches people, you just see what you can get out of people. You take advantage of that. And by the way, let me tell you something. You put yourself in that position, it's a position of you're opening yourself up to be hurt. We understand that. But you know what? Jesus was hurt. Sometimes you get hurt loving people. Because people do take advantage of you. Sometimes people, you know, you ever met people where everything's about, well, what can I get out of this situation? What can I get? You know, today's philosophy is this. What have you done for me lately? You know, forget about everything I did for you a year ago. What'd you do for me this week? You know, in our world philosophy, and our philosophy today is, well, I'm going to take advantage of you. I'm going to get everything I can out of you. And when I'm done with you, then I'm done. I'm quitting. I'm not here anymore. I'm quitting church. I'm quitting God. That ought not be among Christians. Our philosophy ought to be to prefer one another. And by the way, when two people love each other to where I'm saying, hey, I want to make sure you succeed, and you're saying, you want to make sure I succeed, guess what? We'll all succeed. Amen. We'll all do well. We ought to prefer one another. We ought to have an attitude that promotes each other. We said number one, in the area of our affection one to another. We said number two, in the area of our actions one to another. We said number three, in the area of giving advantage one to another. Number four, in the areas of assisting one another. Assisting one another. Are you there in Romans chapter 12? Go to Romans chapter 15. Look at verse 14. Romans chapter 15, look at verse 14. I told you we're going to look at a lot of passages this morning. Romans chapter 15, look at verse 14. I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able, look what it says, able also to admonish one another. The Bible says that we ought to admonish one another. Go to Colossians. You're there in Romans. You got 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Then you got the book of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then you got the book of Colossians, alright? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3, look at verse 16. Colossians chapter number 3, look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. The Bible says that we are to admonish one another. What does the word admonish mean? It means to warn. But it means to warn gently. It means to reprove. But the word reprove means to express. You're expressing disapproval, but with a warning. You know, you owe it to other believers to admonish them. Now, remember, you're going to admonish them, but you're going to do it with love. You're going to do it in a kind spirit, in a kind way. But the Bible says you owe it to admonish one another. Sometimes, you know, people have these ideas, well, I'm going to do this, or, you know, I'm going to do that, and you know it's something that's wrong. You know, you owe it to them to say, hey, listen, you know, the Bible doesn't say that. I didn't say yell at them. I didn't say, you know, make them feel, you know, correct them in front of their family. I didn't say that. But you know, the Bible says that a true love in the book of Proverbs says the wounds of a friend are faithful. You know, and someone that actually loves another, they see him going down the wrong path, they're going to say, hey, listen, brother, let me admonish you a little bit. Because the Bible says we ought to admonish one another. That's a relationship that, you know, the world, they'll let you walk towards that cliff and never warn you about it. But it ought not be so among Christians. We ought to be looking out for each other. You're there in Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 13. Not only are we to, how are we to assist one another? We are to admonish. How are we to assist one another? Look at verse 13. Forbearing one another. Do you see that word there? Forbearing one another. The word forbear, or the word bearing, or bear, you know, there's two definitions to the word bear. There's that big hairy animal that's a bear, you know what I'm saying? And then there's to bear something is to sustain something, to endure something. You know, you're bearing something, you're supporting that. The Bible says that we are, look what it says, look at verse 13, Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. By the way, sometimes when you're forgiving someone, you gotta forbear that someone. Sometimes you gotta put up with what they're doing so you can forgive them. But the Bible says we are to forbear one another. You're there in Colossians, go to Ephesians. Just go back, remember, through Philippians to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 2. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 2. Ephesians 4, 2. Ephesians 4, 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. The Bible says we are to forbear one another. Go to Galatians, right in front of the book of Ephesians. Right before it, you got the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 2. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Look what the Bible says. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. How do you fulfill the law of Christ? By bearing one another's burdens. Do you understand that sometimes people struggle? Do you understand that sometimes people go through hard times? Do you understand that sometimes people go through times and they're hard, and what they need from you, what they need from me, is that we forbear. Sometimes it's our job as spiritual brethren to just come along another brother and say, you know what, right now it's a real hard time for you. I'm gonna sustain you right now. I'm going to bear you up right now. I'm going to lift you up right now. I'm going to give you the endurance and the fortification that you need. I'm here to forbear you. But you understand this. In order to be the type of person that forbears someone else, you got to be the type of person that your entire life is not just about you. Amen. See, people in our society today have been taught from a child. Life is about you. It's all about you. Are you happy? Are you satisfied? Are you in a good place? But you know what God says? Life is all about others. Amen. Someone said it like this. If you want joy in your life, here's what you need. Here's an acronym for you. Joy in your life, you need Jesus first. You need others second. And lastly, it's you. You know why so many of us are discouraged in life? Is because we put that upside down. It's me first. Forget about the rest. Am I okay? Am I happy? But we are to love others. We are to forbear others. Sometimes people need that. Let me show you more in regards to that. You're there in Galatians? Look at Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 13. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So we are to serve one another. This all goes together. I'm here to serve you. I'm here. The Bible, you say, well, yeah, the pastor's here to serve me. No, you are here to serve them. They are here to serve you. I'm here to serve you. You're here to serve me. Sometimes I need help. Sometimes I need encouragement. I may need someone to bear me up. You understand that? We're here for each other. We have a responsibility to each other. Go back to John 13. Remember where we started? John 13? John 13, the Bible says, maybe I read that a little too fast. I don't want you to miss that. You go to John 13. Let me read that to you again. Galatians 5:13, alright? Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, that's your salvation, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. He says, just because you're saved, just because you can, you know, Paul said it like this in Romans 6, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there? He says, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love, the Bible says, serve one another. We are to serve one another. Go back to John chapter 12. Remember where we started? In John chapter 12. We're almost done. John chapter number 12. Look, I'm sorry. John chapter number 13. What did I say? John 12 or 13? John 13. John 13. John 13. Look at verse number... let's see. Good night. What time is it? Okay, it's 11:40. We got time. Hometown Buffet, they're not even open yet. No, they are open. You're right, they are open. Okay. John 13. Look at verse, where do I want you?
And let's see, where?
I don't want to cut. Look at verse 4. Let's just start with verse 4. Let's do it quickly. Look at this. John 13, verse 4. He rises from supper, this is Jesus, and laid aside his garment, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towels wherewith he was girded. So you have Jesus, God in the flesh, the Messiah, taking a towel and a bowl of water, and he's washing the dirty, stinking, calloused-filled, corn-filled feet of the apostles. Say, why were they doing this? This is not something we do in our society today. It's something that they did in those days because they did not have shoes like we do today. So oftentimes their feet were very dirty. So when they walked into a house, it was the hospitable thing to offer them to wash their feet. All right? So that's why Jesus is doing it. Look at verse 5. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, I like Simon. I don't know. Some people don't like Simon in the Bible. They don't like Peter. I like Peter. Lord, does thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Jesus saying, Peter, shut up. He's saying, Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing. I'm going to teach you something, okay? So just be quiet. Verse 8. Peter saith unto him, I like Peter because he's like you and I. Doesn't listen. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. See, Peter thinks he's doing the spiritual thing. Oftentimes when you think you're doing the spiritual thing, you gotta just do what Jesus says. Jesus said, be quiet, I'm gonna teach you something. Jesus, and Peter's like, no, you never wash my feet. And Jesus says, look, if I don't wash you, then you don't have a part with me. So then Peter flips. I love Peter. Look at verse 9. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. So at first he's like, you're not going to wash my feet. Then Jesus is like, listen, if I don't wash your feet, then you're going to ruin my little illustration here, and you're not going to have any part with me. And then Peter's like, well, okay, well, just give me a sponge bath then. You know what I mean? He's like, just wash my feet, my hands, my head.
Peter is so like you and I. Just sometimes it's just good to just close your mouth and listen. Look at verse 10. Jesus said to him, here's the picture. See, it's a picture of salvation. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all.
So Jesus says, Peter, I'm not going to give you a sponge bath, okay? I'm going to wash your feet, like I said. And then he says, this is a picture of salvation. He says, if I wash you a little bit, I wash you enough. He said, if I wash you, you're completely washed. He says, but you're not all washed, because obviously Judas Iscariot was not saved. Look at verse 11. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, you're not all clean. Verse 12. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garment, and was set down again, he said unto them, so first, the illustration is there of salvation, but now he's going to give them another practical lesson. So he gets done washing their feet, he gets it all put together, he sits back down, and he asks this question, know ye what I have done to you? He says, do you understand what I just did? Verse 13. Jesus says, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. He says, you call me Master, you call me Lord, I'm your boss, I'm the leader. And he said, you should call me Master, you should call me Lord, because I am your boss, I am your Master, I am your Lord. Look at verse 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. He says, look, if I'm willing to humble myself, if I'm willing to take water and take your stinky feet and rinse them and wash them and dry them, if I'm willing to serve you in that way, and I'm your Lord and I'm your Master, then shouldn't you be willing to serve one another? So that's what he's saying. He says, love one another. Verse 13. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Notice, you can't get away from that concept. He says, love one another. How? The same way I loved you. He says, forgive one another. How? The same way I forgave you. He says, serve one another. How? The same way I served you. See, when we minister to one another, we're being Christ-like. We have to serve one another. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. This is number 11. Remember I said 5 sections, 15 points? Okay, we're on point number 11, alright? We're almost done, honestly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. What did we say we're to do in assisting one another? We are to admonish one another. We are to bear one another. We are to serve one another. We are to comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Look what it says. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What words? The Word of God. Now here's specifically talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says you've lost some. Some of you are sleeping. Some of you are dead. He said comfort each other with these words that Jesus is coming back, that there is a resurrection. We understand that's the context. But the Bible says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know what the word comfort means? It means to strengthen. I know you and I think, oh, I'm going to comfort someone because they're not feeling well, so I'm going to go comfort them. But the word comfort actually means to strengthen them. The root, you see the word fort there in comfort? Okay, you ever heard of like a military fort? It's a location of strength. Okay, you and I are supposed to go to those who are hurting, are supposed to go to those who are struggling and say, I'm going to strengthen you, I'm going to comfort you, I'm going to bear you up, I'm going to encourage you, I'm going to admonish you, I'm here to assist you. Why? Because I'm going to prefer you. Because I'm going to submit to you. Because I'm going to love you. We are to serve one another. We are to comfort one another. We got to go. Good night. I thought we were done and we got a whole other page. Okay, let's move quickly. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. I'm just going to read these to you and we'll be done. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. You're in Thessalonians, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So you are to comfort one another. Not only are you to comfort one another, if you look there at verse 11, you are to edify one another. The word edify means to build up. The word edify means to construct or instruct, to improve. We are to edify one another. Look, my relationship with God ought to be better because I have a relationship with you. Your relationship with God ought to be better because I have a relationship with you. Do you understand that? The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. And so, a friend sharpeneth the countenance of a friend. In the same way that iron sharpens iron, I ought to be sharpening you. You know what the sad thing is? Most Christians get together, and instead of sharpening each other, instead of getting better, you know what they do? They sit around and badmouth the church. They sit around and badmouth the pastor. They sit around and badmouth the pastor's wife. And let me tell you, you want to badmouth the pastor, your life is so lame that all you have to do is talk about me. I feel sorry for you. You know, good night. There are better things for you to do with your time than talk about me. They talk about each other. Dang, can you believe how sister so-and-so was dressed? Well, if you're receiving her, it shouldn't really bother you, should it? But you know what happens is, instead of we are getting better because of our relationships, we're actually getting worse because of our relationships. It ought not be so. We ought to comfort one another. We ought to encourage one another. We ought to edify one another. You're there in 1 Thessalonians, go to Hebrews. Keep going towards the right in your Bible. Towards the right, Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. Look at verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. We ought to exhort one another. The word exhort means to encourage. It means to urge. It means to advise. Exhort one another. Hebrews 3, look at verse 13. Hebrews 3, verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Go to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Look at verse number 24. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another. The word consider means we ought to be thinking about each other. We ought to be thinking about each other. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Talking about coming to church. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that they're approaching. Do you understand that it is your job and my job to encourage and exhort one another? And the context of this verse is this. You ought to consider one another, so you ought to be thinking about each other. And then the context is this. Exhort someone in their church attendance. So you say, I wonder where so-and-so is. I haven't seen so-and-so in a while. You ought to reach out to that individual and encourage them. You got to reach out to them and say, hey, we missed you in church lately. We missed you on Wednesday night. We missed you out so well. You got to encourage. Now look, you got to do it with kindness. You got to do it with unfeigned love. It's not something hypocritical. Most people like to, you know, I'm going to encourage you. And it's all about making yourself. Where have you been the last 3 weeks? That's a bad attitude. Somebody walks in the church, they haven't been to church in a while, the worst thing you could do is say, oh, we've missed you the last 6 months. That's not okay. Somebody walks into church, they haven't been to church in a while, I just walk up and say, man, it's good to see you. Yeah, I love you, brother. Love you, sister. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. You ought to make them feel welcome. That's our job. It's to encourage each other. Love each other. We said number one in our affection one to another. We said number two in our actions one to another. We said number three in our giving advantage one to another. We said number four in our assisting one another. Number five in our being accountable one to another. You know that we are to be accountable one to another? You're there in Hebrews. Go to the book of James. Right after the book of Hebrews, you got the book of James. Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5, look at verse 16. We got to move quickly. James chapter 5, verse 16. James 5, 16. Pastor, you're preaching kind of long. Here's the thing. A lot of people like to complain. Pastor never preaches an encouraging sermon. So this is your encouraging sermon, but I got to make it real long so it'll last a while. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding. We're almost done. First, where are we? James chapter 5. Look at verse 16. James 5, 16. James 5, 16. Look what the Bible says. I just need to say, we're going to look at two verses, what we done, okay? I'm going to skip the conclusion. Two verses, we're done. James chapter number 5, look 16. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, the Bible says we are to confess your faults one to another. We're to be accountable to each other. Now let me tell you what that doesn't say. It doesn't say confess your sins one to another. Okay, don't come up to Pastor Jimenez. I'm not a priest up here. Okay, I'm not going to stand in some closet and you're going to tell me all the filth in your life. The Bible says if we confess our sins to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I'm just a man. I need to confess my sins to God as much as you need to confess your sins to God. Okay? The Bible says that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You say, who do I go to confess my sins to? Jesus Christ. I'm a pastor, you mean it. I just need to confess all my sins to you. No, I'm not God. I'm not Jesus. I'm a man. Okay? So it's not talking about confessing our sins one to another, but it does talk about confessing your faults one to another. You say, what's the difference between a sin and a fault? Well, a sin is very descriptive, number one. And it's something that you've actually done. Okay? A fault is something you're weak in. You ever heard of like a wall having a fault in it? Okay? It's something that you're struggling with. Okay? It is completely normal. In fact, it is healthy for an individual to go to, and I'm not saying go to the entire church, but it is normal for an individual to go to another individual in the church and say, hey, listen, I'm struggling in this area of my life. Would you pray for me? We are to be accountable. I need the world calls it an accountability partner. Hey, I'm struggling with this. Would you pray with me in regards to that? I'm struggling with my Bible reading. I'm struggling with my prayer time. I'm struggling with my church attendance. Would you help me be accountable? I'm struggling in this or my mind, you know, my thoughts or whatever it is. It's completely normal to say, to go to an individual. And by the way, you and I ought to be available and we ought not be judging people and have this hypocritical attitude. We ought to be open and say, yeah, I will help you. I'm here for you. I love you. I'm here to make sure you succeed. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. See, we are to be accountable to one to another. Go to the book of Malachi, okay? Malachi should be fairly easy to find. It's the last book in the Old Testament. So, right before the book of Matthew, you got the book of Malachi. It's the last verse we'll look at this morning. Malachi chapter number 3. The Bible says, confessing your faults one to another. Malachi chapter number 3. Look at verse number, and I've got more, there's more stuff I wanted to show you, but I'm out of time, so let me just show you this. Malachi chapter number 3, look at verse 16. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter number 3. We ought to have a relationship that you feel comfortable. I'm not saying going to, and by the way, what I will say this, you say, I need a brother to confess my, you know, men go to men, women go to women. Do you understand that? I don't need, you know, some guy to, well, I need to talk to the pastor's wife. You're not going to talk to this pastor's wife. I need a sister. No, you need a brother. All right? Comfort one another. Are you there in Malachi chapter number 3? Look at verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often, look what it says, one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. The Bible says, they that feared the Lord, look what it says, they spake often one to another. You know what you and I need? Fellowship. You know what you and I need? No, I don't need anybody. I can worship God by myself. Not according to this verse, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some. The Bible says, you got to understand this. You say, I need God, I need the Bible, but you also need other individuals. You can't go through this life alone. We spend all week long in the world, out working, at school, whatever you do, and you need, from time to time, to get around other believers and speak often and fellowship and have someone pray for you and have someone love you and have someone admonish you and some have someone just be there for you. That's what you need. And by the way, it's not an option. It's not like, well, some people need that. No, God commands all of us to have that one another relationship. That's what the Bible says. Say, we are responsible to each other in the areas of our affection, in the areas of our actions, in the areas of advancing one another, in the areas of assisting one another, in the areas of being accountable one to another. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. I know that there's a lot of scripture here this morning and a lot of things that maybe have already been said or people have heard before. But Father, we need to be reminded that we are here not just for God, and we understand we're here for God, but we are here for one another. And we've got responsibilities to one another. And we need to fulfill those responsibilities. I pray, Lord, that everybody here this morning would take inventory in their life and see, how am I doing? See, the wrong thing would be to leave here this morning saying, well, no one's ever encouraged me, or no one's ever... See, that's already the wrong attitude, because it's all about you. We ought to have... Lord, help us to have that... the mindset of, how am I doing in my responsibilities towards my brothers and my sisters? Am I encouraging? Am I loving? Am I forgiving? Am I helping? Am I serving? Am I submitting? Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen.